program, joined by my co-host, D.R. Tucker, to talk about news that has almost left me speechless, which, believe me, doesn't happen very often. I think last time I was speechless was when my husband proposed marriage about 18 years ago. I've covered this green beat for 15 years, and I think this is the worst thing I've seen. I mean, it's probably just, you know, more of what we've been seeing, but worse. I'm talking about this story that has been published by The Guardian about conservative think tanks stepping up their attacks on President Obama's clean energy strategy to the point where they are actively planning a campaign to discredit wind and solar power as credible energy sources. They're basically attacking renewable energy, clean energy, at a time when climate change is running rampant, where all kinds of weather events are happening, record temperatures. Even where I live, we are seeing unusually unseasonably hot weather. Everyone is beginning to notice, connect the dots between climate change and extreme weather events. And at this very time when we should be ramping up every investment in renewable energy, there is an active campaign to discredit it. I just cannot believe it. We're going to bring in someone with the Wind Energy Association in just a moment to comment on this. Can't wait to hear what Peter Kelly has to say. But first, DR, are you as as floored as I am to hear this? Or maybe you're not surprised. Now, DR, for those who don't know, is a Republican, my favorite Republican, a former climate skeptic turned climate convert. And you are just as passionate about this as I am, perhaps just as outraged as I am.
At this stage of the game, nothing surprises me anymore. It's almost predictable in its mendacity. I'm not even surprised by the extent of the campaign. If you read the entire memo, it seems to be a full-on comprehensive strategy to thoroughly discredit not only the wind industry, but also anybody who advocates for it. And it appears as though It appears as though the entities who are committed to old energy have basically decided that they are going to take renewables down by any and all means. It is amazing, but not surprising.
I just don't know where they think they're going to live, where their grandchildren are going to live, what they're going to breathe, what they're going to eat, what water they're going to drink. I think we should bring that space shuttle they just put out to pasture, bring it back and start launching everyone who is doing this to another planet. Let them go elsewhere, because this is the only one we have. We're in trouble, and we need to get them out of the way so we can get down to solutions, and it's just outrageous. I want to bring Peter Kelly in. He's a spokesman for the American Wind Energy Association. Peter Kelly, thank you for joining me on short notice. There's just so many stories. I didn't know where to begin this week with news that public support is slipping for climate change action. That's pretty outrageous. And then all the news about the Heartland Institute and that billboard that they put up with Ted Kaczynski. But this one, which I saw last night, just said, you know, we got to cover this first. So thanks for joining us. And what are your comments to hearing this news that no small effort with deep pockets is out to destroy the very industry that you've been so, you know, working so hard, all of you, in wind, solar, and other renewable energy sectors to bring to the public's attention as solutions to our crises?
Thanks for having me on. And I think the solutions are real, and that's what has some of the business competitors so worried, because they see wind energy's got 35% of all the new installations of electric capacity in the whole country. So that means 35% of all the new electricity we're creating for this country is coming from wind. And that means that we're being taken seriously enough that people are mounting, you know, coordinated campaigns to spread misinformation. I think that's what we're reading along with you in these latest documents that somebody has gotten a hold of.
Now, these people are at places like the American Tradition Institute, these conservative think tanks, ultra-conservative, I would have to say. I don't even know if I can call these people. I mean, monster may be a little strong, but how dare they? I mean, they are destroying or trying to destroy not only, you know, renewable energy, but really trying to discredit our president by the fact that he simply is supporting, you know, renewable energy. And, of course, environmental activists would say not strongly enough, not loudly enough. Let's just step back a little bit and acknowledge how outrageous this really is. I would say almost criminal. Is there a law? There should be.
Well, you know, thanks for your concern. I'm very concerned that the misinformation has taken hold, and so many Americans, many people of all beliefs across the political spectrum, are walking around thinking things that just aren't true about wind energy.
Precisely.
What this plan says is those were actually planted there in your head and in your media and in your morning newspaper by people with a profit motive for the old ways of doing things. And the status quo generally does resist change, and that's, I think, what we're seeing here. But I think everybody else who, you know, just consumes the media and gets a lot of information off the Internet may not realize that, you know, wind actually is reliable. It's producing 22% of all the electricity in South Dakota. It's producing almost 9% of all the electricity in Texas. And so when you read, oh, well, it's unreliable, it only blows some of the time, well, it's blowing plenty, and it allows you to burn less of the old forms of energy when the wind blows, and that's why we've got an electric grid. You've got many sources, and everybody wants a diverse set of energy sources for this country. We shouldn't overcommit to one kind of energy, and one party calls it all of the above, and somebody else might say a diverse energy portfolio, but when it comes down to it, we need to make more homegrown energy in America, and that's what this is. So there are things that everybody can agree on, and then they read something on the Internet, and they get concerned about a wind farm that somebody says will negatively affect their town. Never mind that when you go to the towns that actually have wind farms, you find people who are saying, you know, yes, in my backyard, this is creating jobs for our community, it's creating clean energy, we're proud of what we're contributing to this country's energy security, and could we please have some more turbines to keep our farmers on the farm and keep our ranchers on the ranch? This is an all-American source of energy, and I think certain, as you described them, maybe libertarian think tanks and their funders have decided they're going to make this an attack issue, but I think they're wrong. I just think over 80% of Americans want more wind energy, is what they tell the pollsters, and we know we need more homegrown energy, and I think this is actually a mistake that some of these partisans are making.
And let's continue to name names, and then DR will weigh in just a sec. The Koch brothers, they seem to be funding all of this, and the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, seems to be, you know, behind all these efforts to basically reverse what little progress has been made and, you know, should be otherwise making exponential leaps in terms of, you know, catching on with the American public. DR, what do you have to say about this latest turn of events? As you heard Peter Kelly say, the American people want it. They are looking for alternatives. It won't be a silver bullet. It'll be a bunch of buckshot, and we need to ramp up, not tamp down, sources of abundant free energy from Mother Nature.
One of the striking things about it is that a friend of mine mentioned a while back that when he was governor of Texas, George W. Bush, of all people, was a huge advocate of wind energy. So what does that say about how illogical things become since then, that the George W. Bush position when he was governor of Texas is now considered somehow, I don't know, Marxist or anti-capitalist or what have you? Peter, can you weigh in on that? Just the sort of the fundamental illogic of this push beyond the obvious financial motivation on the part of the fossil fuel interests.
Well, that's right. I think at the base of any politician's career is looking out for the interests of their constituents. And there are plenty of wind farms and wind factories all across America whose Congress members and their senators are pushing for more wind energy because they see it back home. They see that how favorable it's been for their hometowns. And George Bush was one of those. Texas has a quarter of all the wind energy in the country. So it's not only a big oil patch, but it's a big wind patch. And he and his Department of Energy, when he got to Washington, put out a study saying we could make 20% of America's electricity from wind by the year 2030. Well, guess what? We're actually ahead of schedule to do that. And plenty of Republicans and Democrats have now endorsed a plan to keep installing wind energy, which is coming up by the end of the year in Congress. So I think what we're seeing is a partisan outburst from the election that will hopefully soon fade away and we can get back to business. There are a lot of charges that are slung around in election years that wouldn't be made in other years, and that may be part of this.
It was mentioned in the Guardian story that the actual memo that the Guardian story referenced, that the Wall Street Journal was going to be selected as one of the entities to sort of launch a crusade against wind energy. And perhaps as a part of this plot or strategy, there was an editorial this past Monday in the Wall Street Journal attacking Republicans who are supporting the renewing of the production tax credit in terms of wind. What did you make of that editorial and about the Wall Street Journal's overall crusade against anything that is a non-fossil fuel-based energy source?
Well, we've gone in and briefed the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and I just have to say,
no effect,
I think
apparently, because they keep on driving that attack.
I think they're behind the times
energy.
Here. They claim this is the energy source of the 1970s in that editorial, which is crazy. I mean, when you're installing 35% of all new electric generating capacity, which is more than twice what coal is doing, you're clearly mainstream. And so I think there's a lot of pretending going on, again, because it's an election year maybe, or because somebody has maybe an extreme point of view about the way they think the market for energy works. But look, we've always had a heavily regulated, heavily incentivized market for energy in this country because we want our electric rates to be predictable. We want the lights to stay on. And so for 90 years, the government has poured incentives of various kinds into the fossil fuel industries and created them. 25 years of incentives and subsidies of various kinds for shale gas have now created that new source of energy. And many people have many opinions about that, but one fact is incontrovertible. It's 25 years of support for shale gas research and development that created that from the government. And now, actually, a fraction of all that support, a very small fraction, is going into creating a new sector called wind energy. It's a good investment, and the reason why so many Republicans and Democrats are running this year in favor of it is because it's got 35% of the capacity. It's got 75,000 jobs, 470 factories. I mean, these are facts, and the journal editorial was a lot of outdated opinion, I think.
I just want to give a few more excerpts from this. It's just so outrageous. I'm talking about, again, this plan to discredit wind energy and in so doing hurt President Obama's chances for reelection because he dare support renewable energy. Radical, radical, radical. Gabe Elsner, want to give credit where credit is due, is the co-director of Checks and Balances. They're the ones that actually unearthed this proposal originally. They're an accountability group. And he says, quote, these documents show for the first time that local NIMBY anti-wind groups are coordinating and working with national fossil fuel-funded advocacy groups to wreck the wind industry. How did those words make you feel, Peter Kelly? I mean, it's almost like someone's, got you in their crosshairs, you as the industry and you as a representative, must be just, even on a personal level for a moment, just outraged.
Well, many people here at the Wind Association have spent their careers working to create new sources of energy, and most people play by the rules. There's a lot of competition. You can expect when you're growing rapidly to have competition. But this seems to be underhanded. I don't think it's the way that fair competition works. And propaganda campaigns based on things you know to be untrue, that are deceitful, that are trying to trick people, are going to backfire because sooner or later someone will find out about them, I guess, as we have from these documents that have been published now. I mean, we're running a campaign too here, but we're running it based on the facts. We're trying to make sure that we have this source of homegrown energy for the future and that it doesn't suffer the election year death year that some people have planned for it.
Just another quote or two, a few morsels I have to bring out. This proposal suggests setting up dummy businesses to buy anti-wind billboards, create a counterintelligence branch to track the wind energy industry, also calls for spending $750,000 to create an organization with paid staff and tax-exempt status dedicated to building public opposition to state and federal government policies encouraging the wind energy industry. I mean, they're serious about this. I think, DR, you were, quote, impressed with just how savvy they were.
I was stunned by how comprehensive it was. That this seems to be, I mean, it reminded me a lot of a memo that MSNBC got a hold of by some corporate lobbyists in Washington discussing how to discredit the Occupy Wall Street movement. And this seems to be that Occupy Wall Street memo on steroids, literally, even down to the mentioning of getting sort of scientists for hire to discredit wind. This demonstrates they put a lot of thought into this effort to sort of kill off the wind industry.
Well, this is the kind of thing you do if you're up against a lot of opposition, such as they are. I mean, on our side, we have the environmental community, as you're not surprised. You know, the Sierra Club believes this is part of what Beyond Coal means.
Mm-hmm.
There's also groups like the American Farm Bureau, which is hardly a very progressive left-wing group, but they represent America's farmers, and that's a source of income for many farmers, these wind turbines. And they can still use 98% of the land and farm all around the turbines. The National Manufacturing Association, which typically supports Republicans, also supports wind and the wind production tax credit, because it means a whole new manufacturing sector in this country. As we've now got 30,000 good U.S. manufacturing jobs we didn't have 5 years ago. And, you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, again, hardly a left-leaning group, is saying this is good business. Let's extend the wind production tax credit. The World Wildlife Fund and the National Wildlife Federation and the National Audubon Society all support wind power because they know it has far fewer impacts on wildlife than any other source of energy. So when you're up against that kind of a coalition, then you may be tempted to use underhanded tactics or say things that aren't true in an attempt to keep your job, I guess, or to keep your funding, but it doesn't make it right.
You know, what about the claim that wind turbines kill birds? I mean, that's the one that the opponents usually bring up as the biggest obstacle, which always makes me chuckle. Not that I don't love birds, but, you know, given what's at stake for humans and all living creatures on the planet going forward, if we don't reverse climate change, it seems really kind of a red herring, pardon the expression, at the very least.
Well, that's right, and gross exaggerations are sometimes made in this area, so let me just bring a couple of facts to light. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and about 90 extensive scientific surveys that have been done very carefully at wind farms all around the country, your typical turbine, which is about a 1.5-megawatt turbine, would be responsible for 6 birds striking that turbine per year. So when you think about over the course of 12 months, 6 birds striking a wind turbine, that is something that needs study. You want to make sure and minimize that. We are minimizing it and actually replacing some of the older, faster rotating, low-lying turbines with taller ones that are more modern. They rotate more slowly. You can get rid of more than 80% of the bird impacts. But the fact is, birds do strike just about any structure we put on the face of the earth, including buildings, which is one of the leading sources, power lines, et cetera. And so really, in that way, a wind turbine is not different than another structure. And yet you hear these incredible exaggerations in an attempt to make a point. I think, again, the leading wildlife groups endorse wind energy because they see it doesn't create climate change and it's far less harmful to wildlife than the sources it displaces, which are actually threatening whole populations of birds.
So what are the actual biggest obstacles besides smear campaigns like this to, you know, getting more wind farms out there? I know I also hear complaints, you know, well, it's an eyesore, which, again, always makes me chuckle and get angry because I say if you think solar panels and wind turbines are ugly, I say look at towns that have been ravaged by probably globally warmed, infused tornadoes, twisters, you know, Katrinas, hurricanes. That's an eyesore.
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that's one area where you really can't have an argument. Either somebody likes the way it looks or not. But one thing that is incontrovertible is everybody plugs things in. And if we want to keep plugging things in, then you have to be responsible for the fact that there's something at the other end of that electric line that is feeding you those electrons into your iPod or into your coffee maker, right? And if you don't want it to be a wind farm, then what do you want? Do you want a coal plant? Would you like a new nuclear plant? We haven't had any of those since the 1970s. Would you like to overcommit to shale gas, which is a new energy source, but not without controversy? It has risks we're just finding out about. And should we make all of our new electricity plants shale gas plants? What we're saying is keep wind in the mix because it actually is a very low-impact way of making energy. And, yes, they have to be somewhere, but I think they're beautiful. And, in fact, my mom turned 80 recently, and I asked her, where do you want to go for your 80th birthday, Mom? I'll take you anywhere you want. She said, I want to go see a wind farm. So we did. We went to see a wind farm in Wisconsin. It was a great, great little trip.
Well, you're very politic in saying, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder, and what do these people want? A very good question. I'd say, you know, they should leave the planet if they're not loving it. I know it's crazy, and I know they're not going to, but it's like love it or leave it, you know? Get out of the way if you're not going to do something to protect nature and our environment that is our life support system. How dare they? I guess I've just grown a little bit less politic and a little bit more passionate as I've seen this kind of nonsense, you know, prosper.
Well, you're very kind to be concerned about this, and thanks for the attention you're giving it on your show. I've got to say, we need to work with everybody to keep this moving because, as you know, we've got a divided Congress and we've got people on all sides of the aisle who are still for wind power. I mean, that actually is something you can agree on. Our polling says 87% of Americans, and that's Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, want more wind energy in this country. So we've just got to overcome a few obstacles here, and some of those obstacles are described in those documents you're talking about.
And just one more quote in this article from The Guardian, that conservative activists are actually acknowledging that it's absolutely a campaign issue to discredit wind and solar and renewable energy sources. It's a big one, quote, said Dave Schwartz, who heads the Maryland chapter of Americans for Prosperity. Of course, that's a Tea Party group with Koch funding. He says it absolutely is a contentious issue. I mean,
That's what they think. They're
arrogantly
right?
saying, yes, this is a campaign issue, it's political, and we're going to stop at nothing. I just think there ought to be a law.
I don't think they're going to gain votes this way. And I think, ultimately, once they start losing votes by opposing clean energy, they'll turn to something else because it's not a great way to get Americans to support your campaign.
DR?
It's definitely a case of limited thinking, and you just wonder about the strength of the wind going between their ears.
Some hollow space in there, you think?
Yeah.
What I keep recalling is I've been on Fox's Hannity show several times, and they always have the climate change denier Chris Horner, infamous Chris Horner, and he called me an earther. And now that the birther quote controversy is coming back into the news, I think we should say you're not for Earth. Please be my guest. Find another planet. I mean, it's just so absurd. As if they don't need, you know, what nature provides every day. It's really just beyond belief. Parting thoughts, Peter, and then DR, I'll let you go. I know you've got to leave at the bottom of the hour.
Well, I just ask that everybody, when you hear something about clean energy in general or about wind power in specific, you know, ask yourself, is this true? And who paid this person to say that?
Follow the money.
That's what these documents are telling us.
You'd figure that with all the hot air coming from the deniers, I mean, it's hot air that's strong enough to power some of the wind turbines that they don't like.
I call them the deniosaurs, and maybe Donald Trump can lead that effort, all the hot air, and his disbelief in climate change, I guess, says it all, really.
You know, it's interesting. Trump's got a resort in Scotland that might have some turbines near it, but the resorts in Atlantic City hired a conservative pollster, John Zogby, to ask tourists what they thought of wind farms being off the shore of Atlantic City, New Jersey. The tourists said, by a wide majority in this survey, we would actually like to see them closer to shore because we want to get a look at them. And the experience has been they've got 5 turbines there already. The hotel rooms on the side facing the turbines are more in demand than the ones on the other side. So the actual experience is people are curious about this. They think they're pretty, and they want to actually look at them. So I think there's a lot of fear going on that is unwarranted. And maybe Mr. Trump will go visit Atlantic City and find out.
Well, and then for those of us who see the world through green lenses, really the point is, you know, the context at which people say, like Trump did, they're ugly. You know, those of us who see an ugly future, if we don't wake up and smell the carbon, say this is a symbol of beauty. It really has to become something that looks like the solution. It really is part of the solution, and not just sort of spoiled American saying, oh, not in my backyard, or that's ugly. It's time to put our planet, our life support system, ahead of our individual taste, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yep. And by the way, it never runs out and doesn't need water.
Thanks so much, Peter Kelly, for joining me. Peter Kelly, spokesman for the American Wind Energy Association, definitely wanted to get their perspective on this outrageous campaign. D.R. Tucker, thanks for your comments. As always, insightful, and love to have a Republican point of view. When we come back, we'll be checking in with Ann Kelly. She's with the group Ceres. They have looked at how corporations are doing as far as their sustainability goals. We'll get an update right after these messages.